Good to be with everyone this morning, this evening, mostly this morning, I suppose. It's an interesting thing to think about all the connections over ages, this lifetime and before that we have together. We are in the closing days of 1 year and the beginning of a new one. In the northern hemisphere, the light is increasing. Night is a good symbol of what is actually going on in everyone. I wanted to explore the topic of vulnerability this morning, this afternoon, and the way the light gets in through me. It's pretty clear that the control structures of human consciousness are dissolving. They go through various phases of shift over the ages anyway, one ideological pattern shifting to another, one system dissolving, another arising. We're in some kind of shift now. And it's interesting to be aware of that to some degree. At least we could imagine we are. Most of those changes typically don't amount to much, the relinquishing of one paradigm and the acceptance of another. Perhaps a little bit of forward movement, but nothing terribly momentous. Yet we're definitely in a process by which something else is emerging in between the cracks in the dissolution of these paradigms that are shifting. And while it's not always possible for people to put their finger on it, there is some awareness that something is both unraveling, but also present. One way of speaking of this is the dissolution of the veil of conceptual control that has been present. Collective systems of thought, like ice floes that have been frozen and present through the ages, and they are beginning to dissolve. That is being mirrored in physical sense. So there are many things appearing in an external sense, some of which look terrible and disastrous, and some of which perhaps don't, depending on your perspective. But I would suggest that it's worth suspending our assumptions about what we think is happening, so-called good and so-called bad. It's easy to imagine that we don't have those assumptions, but I suspect if we look, we probably do. Something is being loosened up. You say that. But that assumes we have some idea of what is already happening. I suspect we're in a time of increased vulnerability collectively, and it's therefore a very delicate time in a certain sense. Now, human nature abhors a vacuum, so when there is a opportunity to take more control, apparently, then various forces arise to do that. But even that's proving to be rather difficult. The rug keeps getting yanked out. The need I find that is helpful personally, and I think well beyond that, is to continue to move from assumptions and knowledge that I so-called have about my experience to greater states of vulnerability, a willingness to see factors I thought I understood. In other words, to allow a different level of radiance of being to move into the crevices of our experience. It's easy to think that we've more or less got this worked out. Of course, that's not really true. The whole job is a continuous movement, increase of light. There's a well-known Leonard Cohen song that begins like this. Now, I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care much for music, do you? In one little phrase is both the hearing, the listening for being, and the doubt and rejection of it. The acknowledgement that there might well be a secret chord, and the fear that one might not know it, experience it, have it. This is the state in human experience. There is indeed a secret chord. It isn't really secret to being, which is present. But the human awareness says, well, if it's present, how come I'm having such a miserable time? Why is the experience of life not present? So there's a constant quest in every direction to bring heaven on earth. And this is appearing in all kinds of ways and with increasingly powerful tools. This has been a pattern over some years, particularly intensifying over the last 100 or so. But the quest remains. The challenge is to recall, as Cohen goes on to say, there's a blaze of light in every word. It doesn't matter which you heard. The holy or the broken. Hallelujah. The lifting up of all things, whatever they look like, wherever they are, is the mission. There are many people who are quite fascinated nowadays by the quest for new kinds of experiences. Enhanced performance, new awareness, new capabilities. And some of this is being technologically assisted. But all of it comes ultimately from a void, from a lack of knowing of what is fundamentally already present. There's a blaze of light in every word. Coming to know that takes a bit of doing in oneself. Now, it's easy to say, well, all those other people need to come to know that. But there are plenty of parts of me, and I'm sure of each of us, that don't like music all the time, that have patterns of rejection of the very factors that we know are true. Now, this isn't a cause for dismay, because this is, of course, the job. To represent being is to be vulnerable to the factors that need dissolution in ourselves. Not to carry on as if one has some superior understanding. That itself is an announcement that one doesn't, of course. To be vulnerable is to be willing, from one's human side, to allow the radiance of being to emerge. And as this is occurring, increasingly there is greater assurance, greater power, greater impact, and greater magnetism. More is drawn. More is lifted up as a result. Well, one could say, well, we know all this. I think there is a role of leadership needed now as there is greater awakening in every quarter, some of which I'll talk about in a minute. To meet what's rising where it is, with authentic experience, not conceptual experience, so to say. And this lights things up. What remains still very unusual, I find, are places or people where there is a balanced pattern of radiation, where one isn't getting too excited one way or the other about the changes that are unfolding. Not taking them as, oh, I know all that, but not being all disturbed either. The habit of convincing oneself that one has it all figured out is really very deep. To let go of that for real opens the doors to magic, except one knows it's not, that's not even really the right word. Opens the door to reality. And there's much to consider. I'm finding with certain colleagues and friends, substance available to think about these more subtle levels of being now that have been more harder to access, let's say, in recent years. It's been a bit of a coarse time in some respects. And while it may look yet more difficult in an external sense, I think there's actually enormous readiness and openness to move into these more subtle ranges of being, predicated on the presence of increased vulnerability in me. One could say, oh, it's all happening now. Is it? One way to think about all this is a lifting up and re-education or transformation of awareness, similar to one might have experienced in one's earlier life, perhaps a spiritual education. One can see the patterns of unfoldment happening on greater scale. Discovery of the order of light, the discovery of the design of things, and the discovery of the power that comes from that. To hold steady in the midst of all that, and to provide the right ingredient, is quite the art form, I find. This is true, I think, personally, inside oneself and perhaps with colleagues. But there are larger scales of this as well. And I think it's worth considering for a moment what control patterns have been present in the absence of much light. Much of what's been gone for control in human experience has been very coarse. As I said, various systems of thought, ideologies of various kinds, political systems, where one seems to be in dominance and then suddenly there's a big upheaval and it disappears and another one takes over. Ah, this will be better. In the crudeness of all of that, is this, as we once perhaps talked about it, lurching from one side of the boat to the other. And there's been a bit of that. Nevertheless, there is a crack appearing now in the paradigm, the dominant paradigm, and the absence of a clear, simple, what's the alternative? And one sees this in lots of ways. For instance, there is enormous rise of interest in psychedelics these days, as you may know. Michael Pollan, the famous food guy, wrote a book called How to Change Your Mind, where he talks about the advantages of psychedelics as a way to shift consciousness. And there's all kinds of research now and experimentation, and apparently some efficacy, some validity to this for people, where there's an acceleration for people and a resetting of experience. Of course, this is not exactly new information. Human beings have looked to find substances that would alter consciousness for a very long time. And these things amount to a slight lift up, typically of awareness, and then a descent. Apparently, that is not so much the case right now, that something of a reset is being made possible for people through these substances, in some cases at least, which I think is a function of the fact that there's a general change going on, and people are seeking to find ways to participate in it, best they know how. One could say, well, there are other ways. Well, there are other ways, but people are using whatever way they can find. There's cracks in other fields as well. So you may be amused or surprised to discover that in physics recently, there has been the discovery of magic. It's quite literally a precise term that the quantum physicists are using to describe quantum states that make quantum computing more likely to work. And there are all kinds of very serious papers on magic. On one level, this is quite hilarious, but it is also very interesting because it's pointing to subtle states of being that people are now becoming aware of and, of course, endeavoring to control. Quantum computing being the latest version, but there are all kinds of other implications, including quantum teleportation, as in moving atoms from one place to another without passing in between the space. so-called, this has apparently happened at the level of at the atomic level, but not yet beyond. So there's all kinds of curiosity about, well, how might that work? There's also, as I'm sure you're all aware, a explosion of interest in so-called generative AI, generative artificial intelligence, and the emergence apparently now of superintelligence, levels beyond what the scientists even thought were possible, computer scientists. Now, this is a cause by in some quarters for great concern. Human nature in charge of super intelligent capacity is going to wreck the world in a few minutes. But I think we could see something else with all this. Inventions, human inventions, are projections into consciousness out of the subconscious of human awareness. Ultimately, projections of being. The idea that there's super intelligence, for instance, capable of holding, understanding everything, from a human standpoint, seems quite fantastic. But is, of course, how being already works. The idea that this could be projected and therefore seen and used as a source of awakening of awareness. It's a very interesting one to consider. It's not that it's good or bad. It's the emergence of something that could allow new understanding to be present as the crack in all things widens, as the veil of control dissolves. New possibilities need to somehow show up. Well, I think they are showing up. The door to new understanding is indeed opening. And it's not a easy process for everyone. But it's also an inevitable one, an inexorable one. Ultimately, as I say before, the stance that's needed is to remain vulnerable, meaning open, to the impact and radiance of being, which has it all well in hand. And while there's a tremendous endeavor to try and figure out what to do about all the different difficulties that are appearing, what becomes evident is a little bit of relaxation, and things can find a way to work out. This is true at a lot of levels. And I find people discovering this, much to their sort of surprise. There are many doors opening in many places, in many contexts now. And the ability to move with all of it and see things in new ways is being brought to everyone's doorstep. What's interesting is one of the big cracks, one of the big disillusions that I think occurred in this country over the last few months is the most recent election, which I think both validated some people's experience, but also surprised quite a lot of others. All, I think, part of the healing that's needed, a resetting in ways that could look like they're proving one pattern of over another, but are in fact, I think, shifting the ground in ways that are opening new possibilities. The pattern is not written yet. While it may look inevitable, and while one may look back and say, well, there have been cycles of history where difficult things have tended to repeat themselves, we're in a moment where new possibilities are, in fact, opening. But they require an awareness and a healing of one's own understanding and the assumptions that one is bringing about what is happening. A humility about it all. That doesn't mean a being asleep to it or numb to it. Curious, perhaps. As this is occurring, I think then the radiance increases. And of course, the intensification. What does it take for human consciousness to move through these phases of difficult change that have been present, these structured states that have been present for so very long? I think the pressure has been rising for a very long time, and the shifts are occurring. There will no doubt be one mode favored by many, which is to come to a point of crisis. Pressure does seem to be a great motivator for people. We can each, I'm sure, relate to that in one way or the other. But moving into vulnerability and being willing to step into new ground and heal whatever factors, frozen factors from one's own past and on perhaps one's our collective past have kept us from being open. Will allow changes to occur. And I think the door to all of that is also opening. The factors that have been stuck in the human subconscious for a very long time somehow have to be transformed. Now, I don't think we need to know every detail about all of that. However, I also don't think it's a matter of being unconscious about what's happening. I think it's likely the case, my sense anyway, from my own experience, is that certain lines of frozen difficulty out of the past, not just one's personal past, but going well back, will come to focus in each of us. Now, while these things may appear at one level in a very immediate experience, personal experience, in interacting with someone, they tend to have roots that go very far back. And they tend not to be what one thinks they are, I found. In other words, one can imagine, oh, I know what that is. Typically, I've discovered you have no idea what it is. It's been hiding in some sense or hidden. But there it is. But it's only through the intensification of being that the healing, the first witnessing of these factors fully, as they are, and then the releasing of them can occur. Now, this takes some stability in oneself. Now, there's a personal equivalent to this personal healing equivalent, but this is, I'm speaking now about the collective healing process. One term that I've heard used to describe these frozen ice flows are legacy burdens, patterns that have been accepted over centuries or even longer, that have been passed through the generations and come to focus in the present. I believe it is the case that one can do something about these factors as they arise. One doesn't need to go looking for them, they'll come find you. And not all of the factors. I think this is all very efficient, this healing process. There's a sort of, call it a subcon, one could picture a sort of subconscious network of factors, which as some are shifted, all can shift. Something about I being lifted up. But this does require some work, I find. And I think it's not a matter of diving into the subconscious and looking for anything, but just sort of living, but noticing what is it that's coming to focus now and what needs to be brought to it that isn't what I assumed to be the case, which just brings us back to vulnerability. I think we're in a moment when the factors that have needed to come to the surface to be released collectively are going to do it. Are we, am I in position to let this, that's in my field of responsibility, clear? Someone needs to do it. I don't think it takes a whole lot of people, but I think it takes a few. These things have been rolling around for a very long time, and they are cracking for sure. It's very exciting and empowering. The good news is one doesn't really need to know, have some elaborate strategic plan about any of it, but to simply be present and to let what is arising be seen, witnessed for what it is, perhaps for the first time in a very, very long time. I'm glad to be considering some of this with you. I think this perhaps opens up some avenues of consideration. Some of which might require, shall we say, yet more substance and yet more intensity to really encompass, but perhaps this opens the door in a particular way. I heard there was a secret chord. We let that chord be heard and felt its resonance offering a healing vibration throughout the whole of the human heart to let this cycle of things really get wrapped up. It's what we're here to do. I'm happy to do it with you. That's what I have to say. Let's discuss.
Bill, for several nights running recently, I awakened with that song going through my head, those words going through my head. The coordination in spirit is something that is becoming more and more obvious also. And recently it occurred to me that this business of judgment, how key it is to the whole thing, as in letting it go, that judgment is spiritual abuse. If we are judging one another, we're being abusive. If we're judging circumstances, we're limiting and abusing the circumstance. So that was kind of an appalling thought in a way, because I don't wish to be an abuser of any kind. But to bring healing, to bring what I agree with you seems inexorable at this point. And it is exciting. It's sort of like a roller coaster ride, hands off. Don't grab onto anything. Just move with what's moving, bringing love and joy and light and intelligence. Because also in this experience, there are things that one can discover from one's past that one thought, hey, that was no big deal. But actually, as it presents itself today, it's wow. The roots of these patterns are ancient. And it's our privilege to recognize them and deal with them appropriately. That's where the real magic is. And in that, it's timeless. It's timeless and birthless and deathless. So you've really opened up something very close to my heart, and I'm glad to be in this with you and continue to explore how we can effectively participate in what is unfolding to the glory of He who sent us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bill, the road to oneness is what's being explored today, I believe, by you. And it's such a glorious path to be on, I do believe, because we are all being called to walk with the Lord in these days. And that means to acknowledge the depth of our connection with one another and to be totally vulnerable to the fact that there are hurts that come up that are collective, that are individual, but I have a responsibility to lay open that heart for greater purification. What's coming to mind these days for me is our friend, Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu. And I'm seeing more and more in his face a child that has been hurt. And I want to come closer to him. Not that anything needs to change, but the acknowledgement that there were these incredibly deep misgivings that we participated in. And he may be reaching out, sometimes looking like a child in a sandbox. And yet I need to go deeper until there is no separation. And at times my heart cracks. It's very painful to move beyond the stratified levels of separation that are present within me. And yet this is the work, and this is what we are about, and this will not stop. We speak of getting the job done. I think walking in this is the answer. And I love the intelligence that you have brought today to this question.
Thank you. Hello.
There's another Leonard Cohen song which you have brought up about the crack. There is a crack in everything. It's how the light gets in. And when you were talking about that, I was realizing that I can see that in a completely different way. It's not the crack I'm focused on. It's, is the light getting in? There was a airline crash in South Korea, and almost everybody on board was killed. And rather than focus on that, I went up to a video that Pam Gray had sent me of Dookie and Jaehyung dancing in Jeju Island. And I just allowed that sense of quietness and spirit of what they're presenting to encompass this situation. I think that's our job, as you said, to allow the light as hard as we can to get in. The cracks are going to close up again and open up again. And I love this consideration, Bill. Thank you so much.
Hi, Bill. Nice to see you after all these years. The light has not diminished. If anything, it's grown and it's flooding in almost past management. I have these psychedelic level meditations where all these, you talked about the magic. I'm not surprised that magic is actually showing up. And I found this beautiful line of David White's, "Transcendence speaks a language against which we have no defenses." And I just found my defenses dropped further with you today in like a bigger light. We share a bigger light. So thank you.
Thank you. Nice to see you too.
So, Bill, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. I'm so glad I have what I had off from work today, so I could participate in this service with you. I'm struck by what I would call a spirit of ease that you spoke with and presented with. It was very deep, very penetrating. The way your mind works is just phenomenal, put it mildly. And I enjoyed that part of the service, but I'm struck more by the sense of ease that you presented in. And I'm sure there was some preparation that went into your talk. And it's just a reminder that I'm reminded of the phrase, you know, the way is easy, the burden is light. And I'm just looking at how, in my own experience, I make things much bigger, I think, than they need to be. And so I'm leaving this service, or I'll be taking away just a sense of ease, and to try to, not to try, to let that be my experience on a more regular basis, not struggle with things that I do struggle with in my own experience. So thank you for that reminder.
Thank you, Gary.
You know, Bill, vulnerability has many faces, and Jerry speaks of ease. That's one of them. Non-judgment, which has also been come up, is another. It is a total openness, isn't it? To be vulnerable is to be open to what comes without judgment, without wondering, without making big steps to change anything or to make anything happen or not happen or to move in any direction, but to be. And that's what we're doing, is we're here to be totally open to what comes down from God out of heaven, to be totally open and vulnerable to what we need to see in the moment, to what is present in the moment, because each moment is a present. Each moment is a gift. And I should know at 87 years old that each moment is totally a gift. And I am delighted to be here, to allow the gift to encompass me, to be vulnerable and open to all that you bring and all that others bring. And I praise you. Thank you for this day.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm reminded. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. All right. There could be a question asked, is the world ready for this vulnerability? And as you were emphasizing, well, it's necessary, so it better be ready. And in a sense, I better be ready
for this vulnerability.
The power that moves, when that is truly present, as you've demonstrated here today, is what we're about. And the greatest teachers that have walked this earth have demonstrated that as well, very clearly. It's not a state to be feared. It's not something that we're not capable of. It's actually true communication, as has been said, with the perfect intelligence of the all and everything, as I would say. So thank you so much. This has been very clarifying and very helpful.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Alan, and thank you, Bill. I too found the vibration and atmosphere of what you spoke the most meaningful. Ease, vulnerability, humility. As you say, this is the crack through which superintelligence, new intelligence comes forth. And I want to make a reference to the events in Korea, the martial law and the plane crash yesterday. The martial law declaration, for example, many are concerned about, but in fact, it's a crack. And it's a crack that is bringing a miracle of change of consciousness that nothing else could have brought. And likely with this airplane crash as well. And I think we can anticipate possibly that not just in South Korea, but in other places in the world, that in fact the cracks will happen through what at outer levels of events seem dramatic and somewhat shocking, but in actual fact are the pathways for the new understanding, the superintelligence to come forth in a completely unexpected way. Mm-hmm. And I so appreciate what you shared is opening of the anticipation, the right anticipation for that mm-hmm. to happen among us and in the world.
And while we're off mute, I want to add what came to my mind, Bill, as you were speaking about the legacy burden, is let us not be like the priesthood of the children of Israel at that time who rejected the Lord and because of their own structures in consciousness. So our time is to be sure that really we have opened to come to a point of realizing we don't know it all, and that we are on our knees to receive the new guidance that comes moment by moment. So I'm very grateful, especially because I think many of us think you do know it all. I know you don't think that, but I'm so grateful for your humility and what you're showing of an opening in other people who are in the know-it-all category to what is yet to unfold in consciousness. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Bill, it's always just so much fun to think with you and in our collective as well, because you always raise that thinking together anytime we are together. So I was also for some time in this vulnerable place, but I've been thinking of it as malleable. And in being malleable, there's an endless discovering in every second of the day. So I just feel as though I know the sense of individual responsibilities and the sense of universal, each one of us are a galaxy, and and the more malleable we are, the more we blend. And many of us have been in each other's galaxies many, many times and share in that substance over millennia. And here we are in this gifted place on earth right now as yet an individual and holding the substance of the galaxies. And I see that in each one of us. I see it in every person that walks through my shop doors. And of course, the experience then is gratitude and absolute love for every moment of the day, these beings that find their way before me. And then there's discovery. So here we are with this beautiful cycle of discovering, loving, being malleable, and growing and mingling with our galaxy, and then bringing it to focus as the individual. And I feel more at home than I have ever felt. And I know it's because we are all now melding into this sense of consciousness together. And there is just something very deep going on that I think trust is a man-made word. It's bigger than that. You know, it's just a place of rest that we do what we came to do. And I'm so grateful to be doing it with you and with each one here and so many more. So what a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you. I think it's worth reminding ourselves that there really are many people in many places who are moving with the one energy that we're considering. Whatever their outer experience appears to be. And we don't have any idea really what they're up to and what they're doing. We know what comes to focus in me. And have the awareness, I think, that there's a places with above our pay grade, let's just say, we're organizing the whole situation. And we have the privilege of participating in it by remaining willing moment by moment to do what there is to do. I think this is the point, you know, and we're blessed to have been exposed to and taught a certain amount But what is needed now is this sustained openness that allows something to come to focus. We know not what. And that doesn't mean we don't, it's out of control. It's quite the opposite. We have a quite deep sense that it's perfectly under control. Thank you all. Lovely to be together. Think back to you, Tom. Yes? Or back to music.